Welcome to the Shame Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
I'm looking at your website here, and I was going to bring up Tantra Cafe.
Oh, it's just too long. Let's see if this thing went out to you. That's so long of a bio. Let me just try sending it to you again.
I'm going to bring up your, that didn't work. Tantra, butterflyworkshops.com, tantracafe.com. Which one would have a better bio on it?
Butterfly Workshops.
Okay.
I think. I mean, I don't know anymore. Here, I'm just sending you this again. Let's see if it will just come to you.
Okay. We'll try it. Is it out of your outbox yet?
No, it'll be out in a second. My computer is getting... Oh, it's not going to you. Hold on a minute. Can I send it to where you sent, like, do not panic?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Hold on a second.
So, Butterfly Workshops. Butterfly Workshops.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long piece, though. I mean, there. I wanted to send you something that was easy and quick.
It's all right,
here it
Amelie.
Is.
When she hears the neighbor's dog, she knows I don't like her to bark, so she comes over to me to be comforted. Isn't that cute? Are you a dog person, Lori?
I am. I'm an everything person like that. How about pro speaker at veronicamonet.com?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's see. Bios. I'm into your butterfly workshop now. Lori Hanley.
Yeah, I just think it's too much. Let me send it.
That's okay. I don't
there
read.
There we go. All right, it's out. It's out of my box.
Okay.
Yeah. I tried to make it shorter because it's too much to read and, you know, whatever.
Well, it's not how I skim anyway.
I don't have a dog anymore. I'm, like, too much. I don't have a place to live anymore, so I'm on the road all the time, so it really, I don't have pets.
You got to change. They make us live longer, you know.
Yeah, I know, but I'm happy that's going to make me live longer.
Oh, well, good. I just can't even, I don't want to live without dogs. I choose not to.
That's good.
I'm
going to
be careful not to say I can't imagine.
You don't want to do that either. I understand.
Yeah, my dog, I said that, and 2 weeks later my dog got run over. I said, I can't imagine life without her. Boy, I sure got to imagine.
Oh, no.
Of course, a psychic friend of mine said, don't you dare go there. She says she was, and I thought back, and really, it was her time, because she knew she was going to die 2 weeks before.
Yeah.
She wouldn't let me out of her sight. There you are. Okay.
I just wrote some bullets. You know, I wrote, like, three sentences, and then I wrote some bullets. My book, my website, my blah, 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 my radio show.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
Cool. Cool. Great. I'll just read it. Read it. All right. Seth, are you there, my darling?
I am here.
I think we're ready to go.
All right. Well,
awesome. No breaks and no call-ins, obviously, since it's a pre-record. And I'll just go, I got 104 on my phone right now, so I'll just go until it says 2. 2 hours, right? You going to add it in later? Okay.
Because you're not on, yeah.
That's fine. All righty then. Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Shame Free Zone. It's Veronica Monet, and I have a very interesting guest tonight. Her name is Laurie Handlers, and she's a Tantra teacher, an author, a talk show host. As a matter of fact, she hosts a show right here on BBS.com. And I was just a guest on her show last week. So if you haven't checked it out, it's Tantra Cafe, and I highly recommend it. She's also an intimacy coach, an international seminar leader, and she holds a master's degree in education and a bachelor's degree in psychology and sociology. Her career includes over 30 years as a corporate change consultant and an executive coach. That's a pretty uncommon background for a tantric teacher. She has taught butterfly tantra workshops for women, men, couples, and singles since 1999. And she's got a book. It's called Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy. Laurie, welcome to my show.
Thank you, Veronica. It's a pleasure to be here.
I had so much fun on your show. I hope I can make this experience just as much fun for you.
Thank you. I'm sure it will be.
I'm the lady who started off with a corporate career and then wound up in escorting. So I'm going to gravitate towards, how did you go from corporate change consultant to tantra teacher?
Well, a couple things. First of all, I'm still a corporate change consultant.
Oh.
I still have contracts from time to time. I'm still a corporate coach, an executive coach. I do that kind of work. There's two things I want to say about it. One is when I was in the corporate world, when I worked in corporate America, I used to just consult to corporate America, and then I went to work in corporate America, and that cost me my body. That my body started to break down based on the environment, based on the pressure, based on the trying to be a man. You know, it's funny because on my show you said, you know, as a woman you weren't getting paid as much as a man, and you know, we can go on and on about that. I was a trainer and an organization development person, so I did OD, and I used to fly around the country, and then in one company, and then in another company, I did what we would call marketing and sales, but in that company it was called enrollment, and I was very effective and very efficient. I like to joke and say that I could have smoked a cigar in any boardroom with any executive men in those days. They could smoke cigars in boardrooms. And then my body just let me know, this is not it. You are not a man. You were not meant to be in these suits and wear these ties and button everything up. You know, I tried to button everything up because I am so sort of wild and sexual and sensual. I just, you know, I cut my hair off and I wore suits and I, you know, whatever. And then my...
went wrong, Laurie, because I was so busy wearing dresses and being a cute little sexy 22-year-old.
Yeah, see, that's going to get you some sexual harassment. I really wanted to be effective and, you know, have them, like, look at me for my results. And so they did, and I was great at my results. And so the pressure was on. And then my lower GI tract got inflamed, and I started to have IBS, irritable bowel, and then, you know, that's almost TMI for the show, and then I was playing tennis on my one day off from my Transformation Corporation job, and I tore a meniscus in my knee, and it was like my knee kicked me in the head and went, duh, you know, you can't even walk now, you can't wear heels, you can't dance, you can't play tennis, you can't run. Like, what are you thinking? And I left corporate America. Right around that time, a friend pointed me in the direction of Tantra. She said, I think you're going to like this. It's very transformational, and it's going to be right up your alley, and you're going to remember who you are. And I did. I remember being so moved. I remembered myself as a woman rather than a do-it machine. You know, do this, produce results, produce results, produce results. I remembered myself in the feminine aspect, and I knew that this would heal me. So I got really into Tantra, but I didn't think about teaching it. I just was taking courses and courses.
Right.
And I then got a lot of government contracts. So I was working in the government sector in the welfare to work programs during the Clinton administration. I was teaching people how to come off the welfare rolls and make a nice living for themselves and get themselves, you know, into a job container. And I was making beaucoup bucks doing that. And on the side, I was learning more and more Tantra, and I was teaching a little bit. And then we got George Bush. And when we got George Bush, there was no more welfare to work programs, and my income stopped. And I said, well, I better teach Tantra full time. And so I just expanded what I was doing more on the side. I expanded into full time, and, you know, that's history. I make my living now teaching Tantra. And occasionally, just for the fun of it, I have a corporate client, and I love that too. And actually, One Taste has been a corporate client of mine.
So what do you do for One Taste?
I did two workshops on leadership, integrity, and service out in San Francisco for all the One Taste workers and all the One Taste, not all, but many of the residents.
Right.
People who, yeah. Training them on really impeccable service, and who are they in the matter of who they say they are in the world? Like, what kind of difference do they want to make in the world? And then is everything that they're doing lining up into that vision of who they say they are?
Did you just teach that class recently?
I did it in March, either February and March 2008 or March and April 2008.
Of this
like
year?
That.
This
yeah.
year, well, yes, you know, for the listeners who don't know, One Taste is this amazing organization. I just have nothing but good things to say about One Taste. They're located in San Francisco. They've also got another office in New York. You can look them up on the internet. I think it's just onetaste.com, but probably better
it's
to Google for it.
onetaste.us, actually.
You're right.
Yeah.
.us. They've expansive consciousness around community and around sexuality and around spirituality.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
They've been going through a lot of changes this last year, so that's great that they are bringing in professionals, kind of help them find their way, because I was worried
yeah.
about them there for a while. They were kind of, you know, seemed to have had a lot of stops and starts this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I stay there in New York. I have two places in New York. I stay with them in New York, and I also have a place out on Long Island that I stay in. Even I don't have my own home at the moment, so I do stay at One Taste a lot, and I have many of the people there have done my Tantra courses, and many of them, and I've offered my corporate courses to them.
I'll bet we know some of the same people then. Do you know Bruce Abramson?
Yeah.
And...
yeah.
Oh
I know
God.
Everybody in San Francisco. I mean, I really
Beth
do
Crittenden?
Know.
Beth
Crittenden? Yeah, of course. She did an
oh
interview with me on the radio.
Yeah.
Taste of Sex. Yeah.
Oh, they're awesome people. I just love them.
Yeah. Fabulous people. So I still do some corporate. I have an executive. I can't say who, but I do have an executive that I coach on a weekly basis who's the CEO of a very, very successful company in Florida. And, you know, so I have one foot in the corporate world,
mm-hmm.
and I have one foot in the Tantra world, and I'm real happy about that. I like, because any one thing for me gets too boring.
Oh, I understand that. that's why I write, I do public, speaking, I do the mm-hmm. television, do the radio,
sure.
and teach workshops. Then work with people one-on-one, both in person and over the phone. It keeps me really busy.
Exactly.
So
there's a lot of work to do out here.
On your show, you mentioned, when I was interviewing with you last week, you mentioned mm-hmm. something about 25 people. You don't like to teach less than 25 people. So that's some pretty big workshops to be teaching Tantra. It sounds more like a puja. Do you want to explain?
Yeah, well, I'll explain puja, too. Puja means ritual, and in the Hindu religion, puja is a ritual to any god or goddess, and there are over 4,000 gods and goddesses in the religion of Hinduism. In Tantra, we use puja to honor the divinity in ourselves. So if I were having a puja with you, one of the listeners, you would be honoring me as a goddess. And if you were female, I'd be honoring you as a goddess. If you were male, I'd be honoring you as a god. The divine in you, the deity in you, the god or goddess in you, that which really connects to the divine and to everything and all, rather than you, the individual identity or ego like that. So back to the question.
Okay.
I like groups. What were you going
to
say?
I didn't realize puja could be one-on-one. I've only been to pujas that were these big, you know, groups of 20 to 50 people.
No, you can have a puja with yourself in the mirror. You can have a puja with a picture of Babaji. You can have a puja.
I'd rather have a puja with a picture of Baba Dez.
Yeah, you can have a puja with Baba Dez or a picture
of
Baba Dez.
Look it up on the internet if you don't know who Baba Dez is. Go to Sedona Temple. He's hot.
So you can have, you know, when you see, if you see a statue of Ganesh, who is the god of, who removes obstacles and good luck, if you see a statue of Ganesh and there's all these flowers draped around his neck and there might be a little bowl of honey in front of him and there might be flower petals or any Shiva or Shakti, you know, that's a puja. Someone has done a puja with that statue or with that, you know, in honoring that deity. So that where puja comes from. And then in Tantra, of course, we've taken puja and we do it with big groups of people. We alternate. Let's say some people are standing in one circle, in an inner circle facing out, and then an outer circle facing in, and we rotate partners so that we're honoring, we're doing eye gazing, and we're honoring and respecting and surrendering even to the divineness of the person who's our partner at that moment. And that there can be sexual pujas and non-sexual pujas. If people go to my website, butterflyworkshops.com, I have a 13-minute film called The Butterfly. Sorry, I'm losing my voice. Excuse me. The Butterfly Experience. And at the very end, like let's say in minute 11.30 until the end of the film, there's a puja where people are eye-gazing, and it's so intense, and we put on loudspeaker like what they're thinking. And so they're looking in each other's eyes, but the voiceover is saying, you know, and I looked in his eyes and everything disappeared. There was just, you know, heaven, you know, or whatever. Like, that's kind of what a puja is like. So my classes have pujas in them, but I'm like a group person. I've always been like a group dynamic person. That was my training. My training was in group dynamics and big groups, like leading groups of people. So I've led courses anywhere from 5 people to 55 people. I've given, you know, talks and speeches to thousands of people, not so much about Tantra, but some, about whatever. And it's funny because I train executives in giving speeches and in making eye contact with their audience. And then in Tantra, I train people in making eye contact and getting lost in somebody's eyes. So it's like, one thing feeds the other. I get bored dealing with one person. It's just me. It's how I am.
I have to tell you, Laurie, I haven't asked you all the questions I'm going to ask you tonight, but so far, you are one of the most knowledgeable people about Tantra that I've ever encountered. And
well, thank you.
I have to say I'm impressed. I mean, you know, have you heard of Jawala?
Yes, I have.
Okay, I took a course from her years and years ago when I experienced my very first fire breath orgasm. And as I told you when I was on your show, I've dated people who are Tantra teachers and practitioners. Certainly had other Tantric specialists on my show, but you really are explaining some things to me that I've never had anybody explain to me before, like puja. I wonder if you could go further here and maybe explain Kriya to me.
Yeah.
In all of its permutations and
well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I can do that. But I'll tell you what I know, and my experience of Kriya, and you talk to me about an experience of Kriya. So Kriya, when someone experiences a Kriya, and this happens in yoga, it happens in meditation, and it happens in Tantra, which is yoga and meditation. It's just another aspect of it. A Kriya is when the body contracts uncontrollably in such a way that energy shoots through, but it doesn't go straight through. It makes the body rock. It makes things like involuntarily. It's like the autonomic nervous system contracting and surprising the being whose system it is. So I could be having a Kriya while I'm talking to you, and all of a sudden my stomach pulls in, and I kind of shiver. I actually look like I'm having a little mini orgasm or some kind of mini seizure if I'm having a Kriya. And Kriyas are possible to have internally, vaginally and anally, and they're also possible to have externally where the stomach pulls in and the shoulders shake a little, and you could also, your teeth could chatter a little bit, your legs could shake a little bit. It's kind of like, I can explain it as, some people call them energygasms instead of orgasms. There are terms for Kriyas like waving or streaming in Tantra, which means that somebody is just giving way to the water aspect of the body, like the water is 80% in the body, and if we really unhinge our hips and unhinge our jaw and unhinge the places where we hold tension, like water can stream through the body and it makes our bodies quiver, and they quiver uncontrollably, and that's what a Kriya is.
Now, maybe you can help me understand it, because I certainly, in doing conscious breathing, tantric exercises with some of my playmates around the world here, isn't that fun thing about Tantra and Pali? I mean, you just drop into a city and you have all these playmates. So, but I think that the Kriya that I experience around that, for me, feels, it's pleasant, but it doesn't have a profound impact on my spirituality or my mentality.
Mm-hmm.
The Kriya that I talked about when I was on your show last week, you know, that came because of 3 days of, you know, basically allowing the lingam to enter the yoni very slowly while you're circulating breath and eye gazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like we were joined together for 3 days. Three different tries, 3 days in a row.
Right.
And that had a profound impact. So it wasn't just like kind of that, I'm just, for lack of a better word, I'm going to say contact high that I will get when I'm doing tantric play with other people. And all of us will have some spontaneous contractions and quivers and gasps. And you know, it'll happen maybe for an hour or so after we've played. But this was different. This was like a profound shifting of my consciousness. At least that's what it felt like to me. And without any more tantric play or interaction or sexual interaction of any kind, lasted for a whole month.
Mm-hmm.
When I went online and researched this, they were talking about how sometimes it's like something breaks loose or breaks free. And do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I was just going to go there. If you hadn't said that, I was actually going to go there. It sounds like, and of course I wasn't there and I'm not in your insides, but it sounds like you let go of some place where you were holding something. Now, in the sex chakra and in the first chakra, which is closer to the anus, and also in the third chakra, the belly, we hold all kinds of cellular memory of pleasure and pain. And mostly people remember pain. And some of the things about pain they remember and some they don't remember. Like, you might not remember if a school bus splashed you with mud, you know, but you might remember if somebody said no to you the first time you ever asked a boy to dance. You know, like the things that we remember are amazing, and usually they're skewed towards the negative. In the first, second, and third chakras, but especially the sex chakra, we remember that stuff in a cellular way, and it stays there. And then when we go to have pleasure with another human being, we're having pleasure over the top of our own toxic waste. Like, we don't know that all that stuff is stored there. And then what happens is we're going to have pleasure with someone, and we might end up crying or really mad or really scared or really upset. And we don't know that that's all, lots of memories are being stored up from other things. So back to your experience, you may have let go of a piece of something that you probably don't remember because it's probably not important that you remember what it is. You know, the content. It doesn't matter what the content is. You probably let go of some pattern or experience of trauma or trespass that you were holding in your second chakra, which is where your sex is. And you then had a release. So everything could just kind of convulse or move or shift or contract involuntarily with pleasure.
Hmm. And that sounds right to me.
That's about the best explanation that I can give you. Now,
yeah.
My classes are predominantly emotional release classes. I mean, we do all that squeezing of the sex muscles and squeezing all over the place and with making lots of sound and noise so that people can release all this stuff they're walking around with and make room for the unknown. Because to me, in my definition of Tantra, I cannot have pleasure unless I'm on a clean slate. And I'm in the unknown, like I'm not in my knee-jerk reaction, oh, this is going to be so cool. No, I don't know what it's going to be. And to me, pleasure resides in the mystery of the unknown as opposed to the way I have to be done, the way I have to do it, the way it has to be my normal groove. It's more
right.
Like I just want to let go of all of that. And be in a place where if my body's contracting and it goes for 30 days like yours, what a hoot. I'm having a ball. You're walking through life like
know.
A big orgasm, you know.
Well, I didn't know there was such a thing as Kriya until it happened to me, and then I went looking on the Internet for what the heck is wrong with me.
Nothing.
I love that kind of organic discovery where you go, you know this stuff is real when you're not having an expectation.
Right. Well, to me, I just have to tell you that Tantra for me has been a non-stop, continuous continuum, non-linear continuum, by the way, but continuum of surprise after surprise of I didn't expect this, I didn't expect that, I had no idea, nobody told me, but I woke up and this was happening, I woke up and I looked like this, I woke up and I had this experience, I woke up, and it just keeps going.
Well,
it's
share
like
one
big
of those
mystery.
With us, will you?
Sure. 6 months, well, when I first started Tantra, I was initiated into this thing called Cobra Breath, which is a very sacred and ancient breath. Brought to the planet, I don't know, over 6,000 years ago, they say, by Babaji, who is an avatar. And, you know, I didn't believe anything. You know, they said that, and my New York State of cynical mind came on, and I went, yeah, sure, right. You know, yeah, this is really 6,000 years old, and this is stupid. And, you know, I had all these judgments and evaluations. I'm not exactly the world's greatest student. I am in a certain way, and I'm not in a certain way. I'm kind of like you. The things you were saying on my show, I'm very rebellious. Things have to be kind of political for me to be interested in them. Like, they've kind of got to smack up against the establishment for me to, like, really take interest. And I couldn't see how this breath was going to be beneficial to that. Anyway, I got initiated into the breath, and this guy I don't even like called me every day to do it, to do the breath, because he knew I wasn't going to do it. And, okay, so I did it every day. And about 6 months passed, and I started looking different, and I started being different. Like, my friends started noticing that I was different, that I was getting softer, things on my body were getting a little rounder, I was growing my hair out, I my hair looked like kind of a drill sergeant at the time, and my hair was growing out and getting, you know, more and more curly, and I was wearing it like that instead of pulling it back. All kinds of things were happening. And I also used to be a very angry person. And through my practice of Tantra, which has now been since 1996, you have to really, really press me to find anger. And it used to be what I led with. You know, like if you just scratched me for a second, I'd be, I'd be roaring at you. But I don't have that. I mean, it just like it's changed. It has changed my fundamental mechanistic being. Like the way my knee-jerk habit reactions to things are no longer. And who I really am is there, is available, is right there. It's not covered over by layers of anger and pain and things like that. They just have dissipated because I've really done my practices.
What is cobra breath anyway?
Well, I can tell you a little bit. Yeah, well, I can tell you a little bit about it, but I can't instruct you over the radio, and I won't instruct people, you know, who are just listening in. They kind of need to be in my eyesight for me to instruct them. But it's an ancient breath that looks like a cobra movement, and there are a number of levels of it. There are supposedly 6 levels of it. I'm initiated into 3 or 4 of those levels. And the first level helps people manifest. It's a transmutation breath. So it takes sexual energy and transmutes it into heart and third eye and heaven energy, and then lets heaven come back down to earth.
So
into the body.
Is this at all like sex magic?
Well, when we say that things are manifestation breaths, it is a little like sex magic. I create everything through my cobra breath. Like my book, Sex and Happiness, the book that I wrote, every day I sat down and did cobra breath and said, book, 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 you know, and I have a DVD, I have some CDs, everything that I create. I set my intention, and then I do my cobra breathing.
I do with masturbation ritual. But usually I meditate for a half an hour, and then I, you know, light candles or incense or both or whatever, and use create a visualization at the moment of orgasm.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, this is a little easier, especially if you don't have time for that. I mean, you can do cobra breaths, and you can do 7 to 14 cobra breaths in less than 5 minutes, set your intention and have it be just as powerful as doing a sex ritual, which takes, you know, considerably longer.
An hour. Well, I gotta learn that. I could do that on the plane.
Yeah, I do it on the plane. I do it everywhere. I used to do it in the steam room. I used to belong to a really fancy health club in Washington, D.C. I lived in Washington for 25 years, and in my last, you know, 5 years of Washington or 6 years of Washington, I belonged to a very posh health club on Wisconsin Avenue, and I used to do cobra breaths in the steam room, and people would just kind of leave me alone.
Well, it is New York, honey.
No, this was Washington.
Oh, Washington.
Yeah, this is in D.C.
Oh,
I spend a lot of time in D.C. I've been more in D.C. than I have been in New York in my life.
Well, can you explain to our listeners the difference between Tantra and Tantric sex? Because, and if you see a difference, and then also maybe take us into the idea of what is sex? Because, you know, I think for me, practicing Tantra really redefines my whole definition of sex.
Yeah, it does. I like that. Well, let's see. Tantra literally means expansion through awareness. In my definition of Tantra, it's transformation through pleasure. And it really is, it is very transformative. It transforms people's lives. It allows people to see that they have choice. It allows them to see that they can embrace it all, that they don't have to be on a right, wrong, right pattern. They don't have to be either or, you know, kind of like linear. Like, I'm either this or I'm that. It's either this or it's that. Like, they can just say, oh, I'm all-inclusive. Like, I have room inside myself because myself is getting so big and expanded that I can see and have and be it all. So that's like one part of the definition of Tantra. Now, if you say tantric sex, there are specific sex practices which are part of Tantra. Tantra is much more all-inclusive than just tantric sex, but in the West, I pretty much think, because most people aren't getting any, you know, like we can be sold anything through that want better sex. You know, we can do breast implants and lip injections and, you know, penile extensions and all these things that people do is all drive, you know, beautiful red sports cars, all in the hopes of getting more sex.
Yeah.
When in fact, yeah, anything. They can sell us anything. They can say, if you take, you know, this breath mint, you're going to get laid. You know, like whatever they tell us, you know.
I think people are sex deprived, absolutely,
yeah.
In this country.
So we're manipulated. Well, this is a Puritan country. We're manipulated by the press and by Madison Avenue or whatever, by the media, to believe that anything we do, if we enhance it, if it's red, if it's this, if it's that, that we're going to have better sex, and then we don't have better sex. I mean, people don't have better sex. I don't think anybody's getting any, you know, well, not anybody, but I don't think most people are getting decent sex. I don't think they're getting experimental, experiential, mind-blowing, life-altering sex. I think they're just kind of doing bang, bang, thank you, done in 2 minutes. And, you know, Margo Anand, I'm sure you know who she is. She's a famous tantric teacher.
Huge tantric guru.
Yeah, and Margo said, she did like a study of 500 students or whatever and said, you know, how many minutes in your life, based on your age, would you say you spent in orgasm? And it came down to, you know, like 30 minutes in a 60-year life.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, of course, orgasms only last for 8 seconds. And
right.
Now this is, for me, one of the appeals of Tantra, too, because Tantra takes you to a place where you start realizing there are pleasures that transcend orgasm. Orgasm really is only an 8-second phenomenon, of course, unless you want to go with the oming definition. but you know, if you're going by Masters and Johnson definition, you reach orgasm and then it's over. Yeah, it's
and
8 seconds.
And then it's over.
So
right,
there's a sexual plateau that you can achieve through Tantra, which just goes on forever.
Exactly, and yours went on by yourself doing nothing for 30 days.
I know.
With contractions and what you call Kriya. So,
yeah,
you know, or what we call Kriya.
It's different than what I call friction sex. It's different than this focus on the genitals. Even though I was having genital contractions, it was an all-encompassing sex. Spiritual experience. It was my whole being.
Yeah. So that's really what tantric sex is. And just by what you're saying, it was your whole being. So when we see the media or whoever is, you know, saying tantric sex, you know, the ones who are using it to advertise their services or whatever, they're talking about a genital experience. Tantric sex is not that. Tantric sex is to expand your awareness, blow your mind, alter your consciousness, and it's done with sexual energy. Sometimes it's involved in a sex ritual, perhaps, or a certain way of breathing while having sex. But lots of the time, it's really preparing the body through breath and through practice of finding the divine within, finding that deity in each of us, like I talked about in the puja before. And then preparing the landing strip for the plane to land. And then it becomes a transcendent experience, which is stimulated through sexual energy. And sometimes it involves sexual contact with another, and oftentimes it doesn't.
And I think one of the reasons this is such a culturally difficult concept is because we have been had this whole separation between spirituality and sex forced down our throats through, you know, monotheistic patriarchal religions.
Right.
And you know, Tantra predates those religions and goes back to...
Yes, it's over 6,000 years old.
Yeah, it goes back to a time when people knew that sex and spirituality were actually one and the same, or they were parts of the same whole. They weren't contraindicated at all. The sex could be a doorway to the divine.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So that's the difference. And when people think, you know, I like to demystify Tantra every chance I get. You know, people think, oh, Tantra, it's some new kink. No.
Yeah.
It's not. It's anything but that.
Yes, exactly. And let's go into your favorite rant now, which is that, you know, people who are saying it's Tantra, but they're really just giving hand jobs.
They're giving happy ending massage, which is that they give a hand job to their customer and their customer goes off having been released. That's not Tantra. That's anything but Tantra. And people, I don't know what they think they're doing. I mean, the other thing, we didn't talk about this before when we were talking on my show, but you know, one of the reasons I don't do one-on-one sessions with clients is because, and you know why I have groups, is because I don't want someone to think that they need me to do Tantra. One does not need a partner whatsoever to do Tantra. I don't need a partner to do Tantra. I've done Tantra for years with and without partners. There have been whole, you know, 4-year periods where I wasn't with someone, and I still practice Tantra with myself. So I feel like if someone comes to me, makes an appointment with me, if they were to, and I was to have some kind of sexual contact with them, and then I, you know, and I helped them expand and broaden their awareness, they would think that that was dependent on being with me or somebody else.
Well,
and it's
really,
certainly not.
It's a hard lesson to find out otherwise, because when I, when I was talking to you on your show about how I, was after 9 months of abstinence, I had a sexual encounter with someone that transpired over 3 days, and it led to that month-long kriya.
Yeah.
I was so convinced that I had fallen in love with that person. I was so convinced that that sexual experience was, I had personalized it. It had everything to do with him.
Mm-mm.
And then the next time we got together, that there was no repeat. And I realized that it wasn't him at all. It was just where I was at.
It was you. It was all you.
It was me.
Yeah, he was riding your ride.
Yeah.
He was probably riding your ride, you know, and I'm not belittling him or taking away. I'm just saying you two came together, and for you, wherever your consciousness was at the time, that was reflecting in your experience.
It was.
And, that's the thing. When people, you know, when I first advertised Tantra, you know, in 1999 or whatever, there were just a few Tantra teachers out there, other Tantra teachers. And when I was first starting out, you know, I used to get these phone calls, and the men would ask for, is Laurie there? You know, and they'd be heavy breathing, and they'd go, you know, can I have a one-on-one session with you? And I'd go, like, no. And then they'd go, you know, well, could I, you know, would you... Could I have a session with you where you watch me masturbate? And I'd go, why? I would, you know, like, well, why not? Because that would bore me. Like, I don't want to do that. And when someone would listen, you know, and I'm sure they thought I was on a soapbox about it, I would go, if I have a session with you, you're going to think that it's dependent on me. And that's not empowerment. Empowerment is, expansion is when you know that that energy is coursing through you, whether there's a me or not. It's
absolutely
your life force. Sexual energy is your creative, vital life force, and it's your birthright to learn to circulate that. And you can learn that in a group of 30 people, 20 people. You can learn it. You can go home and do homework with yourself, and you can come out in this amazing shape And then when you're gifted a partner, oh my goodness.
Something even more wonderful can happen.
Yeah. I mean, I give people 21 days of homework where they have to abstain from being with a partner, even if they have a partner. They have to self-pleasure, and they have to pleasure themselves to three peaks and not go over. Three orgasmic peaks and not go over. No orgasm, no coming. They have to just be, they have to keep doing it until their container expands, 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 so that they can finally receive.
Wow.
The Tantra really is about the feminine aspect. It's not only about the feminine aspect, but it is in the sense that we've ignored the feminine aspect in the West for so long that we have to learn to receive. Nobody's good at receiving, really, when they first start out. So this is about men learning to receive and women learning to receive.
Am I crazy, or do I hear some connection to prosperity consciousness here?
Oh, no, there's a huge connection to prosperity consciousness. Listen, when I started teaching Tantra, there was no The Secret, and there was no What the Bleep. And now everybody knows the bleep in secret, and it makes my life much easier when I'm teaching. I mean, I have much more advanced people coming to my courses now. But, yeah, if you want prosperity, you've got to clear out all the blocks to having what you want, and then you've got to state your intention for what you want, and you've got to, you know, just keep doing the practices. You can allow in Tantra yourself to receive by doing nothing except breathing and squeezing.
And that is so much more difficult than it sounds. I feel like I come up against a place where I am on the verge of pleasures I've never even been able to imagine.
Yeah.
And there is some part of me that's so terrified of how beautiful and wonderful and fulfilling that would be, that I close the door.
Yeah.
And I believe that that same part of me that walks away from this extreme sexual pleasure, that I find it too much, it's too scary, it's too happy, you know, it's too pleasurable. I feel like that's the same part of me that keeps a certain level of prosperity away. It's like,
yeah,
I am living in this concept of too much. There's such a thing as too much. I can't have it.
Yeah.
What,
or you can't be it.
Huh?
Or you can't be it.
Or I can't.
You can't allow yourself to be it. But you are. You are too much already. I mean, you are too much. And you might as well get it, that it is beautiful. And that's where you shine. You're too much. I mean, that's, you know, we, on my show, we talked about courtesans being everything, being argumentative and political and bright and sexual and, you know, everything. And, you know, part of the thing that women come to my classes as they, you know, they say, you know, someone told me I was too much. And so they're walking around shut down for the next, you know, 25 years.
Yeah.
And they come to my class and I go, okay, for this course, why don't you just be too much? Let's play it out.
Wow.
Let's see what happens. And so people get to be too much, and they get to love themselves that way. They get to remember how they were as little kids. And before the process of shutting down girls went into effect.
Okay.
Yeah, that.
Yeah. So, wow, I got to take one of your workshops for you. Hopefully I'll get my book deal. I'll come out to New York City for a book party, and I'm going to take one of your workshops.
Well, you know, you can. My workshops are everywhere, so you know it doesn't have to be that. I do them sometimes in San Francisco. I do them in Minneapolis. I do them in New York, Philly, Baltimore, D.C., West Palm Beach. You know, pick London.
Now, are you traveling to all those cities, or do you have a franchise where other people are trained to?
No, I travel.
You travel.
You know, I really haven't trained other people to lead.
You're
my
not Margot Anand yet.
No, I don't know that I want to be.
I don't think I do. God bless her. I think that's great for her. But I just,
yeah.
You know, I love my public. I really do. I love talking to them, working with them.
Yeah.
I love the workshops that I teach, watching people transform. It's, you know, God, I would hate to miss that.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. So I have, so I pretty much go to the places. As a matter of fact, this weekend I'll be in Boston. And I love my life. And what I do is I pick places that I want to go. And that's where I do workshops. So like if I want to go to Mexico, I do a workshop in Mexico. If I want to go to Costa Rica, I do a workshop in Costa Rica. If I want to go to London, I do a workshop in London. I love India, so I take people to India every year.
Oh, wow.
For almost 2 weeks, I have people tour the heart of India. And when we're in India, we do tantric breathing and we do some Osho stuff. We do release practices on our bus. And,
That's something. To go back to India where Tantra was born. Is that true? Tantra was born in India?
Well, I really think that Tantra was born in Egypt and that it moved to India. And people could debate with me, and I don't have a lot of proof. It's just kind of intuitive. I think it was Egyptian. And I think a lot of the practices then moved to India where it flourished and became known as, esoteric practices in the South. And then it spread to the Far East. And I think that happened, although it's not really documented, but I think that happened based on the spice traders and the Silk Route. The Silk Road, I think that it got to, Cambodia, Vietnam, Indonesia, Japan, China, Nepal, those places, Tibet, by people who were making the route to find spices in India.
Mm-hmm.
And but India doesn't know much about Tantra now. India as a culture, Indians don't know much about Tantra. They know the head stuff, but they don't know the stuff that I teach.
It's like carved into the wall, the outside walls of the temples, right? But
it is, but they make light of it. I mean, here's a little known factoid. the most beautiful temples and the most plentiful of temples are in Khajuraho, which is, they're called the Kamasutra temples. And, they have every erotic position and everything that could be conceived between man, woman, 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 man, animal. I mean, everything is on these walls, and they're gorgeous. It's really the height of Indian art. The sculptures are amazing. And the little-known factoid is that Mahatma Gandhi wanted to bury those temples. He was mortified by the fact that explicit sex was being shown on these huge walls of these amazingly enormous temples. And so he wanted to bury them. And I don't know what act of government prevented it from happening, but it didn't happen.
Thank God.
Yeah, I know. So bizarre. But then, there's explanations. Like Osho had an amazing, and for people who didn't know who Osho is, Margot Anand was a student of Osho. Osho was a prominent tantric master from the late 60s to 1990. And he lived in the United States and was known as Rajneesh and was very controversial and was, arrested by the U.S. government and a threat to Ronald Reagan and a threat to everything. And he also had a huge ashram in India, which is still going even though he's no longer alive. Anyway, Osho's interpretation of the Kamasutra temples is you walk the outside, you walk around the walls of the outside where you see all these amazing pictorials of human sexuality, and then you enter the temple, and the temple is bare inside. There's almost nothing on the walls. It's just a big opening, dark, like a cave, kind of like a yoni. And he said that's where you come to your truth. So you circumvent this temple with all the human addictions, all the things that we're fraught with, our mind is busy with. And then when you go through all of it and come out the other side, like you prevent yourself from nothing. You actually go for it. And then when you come out the other side, you go into this place inside yourself, inside your heart, which is represented by a yoni cave, where there's no desire, where you're just, like, done. you go, that was nice. I'm enlightened, you know. I'm at peace. I don't feel the pull by that anymore. I just feel.
Wow.
And that's a different consciousness. And that's really possible in Tantra. I don't know that to be possible in anything else. Maybe because I don't know anything else. But I can tell you I tried meditating many other forms of meditation, and that just I didn't get any peace from that. And from Tantra, I'm peaceful. I'm happy. In my book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy, it's a description of what I have learned since I have been teaching Tantra. And
which
it's my
been
own.
Since 1999, so that's like almost 10 years.
Yeah, since I've been teaching since 19, that's right. I've been teaching since 1999. Yeah, this year will be 10 years. And I simply have come to peace. I've come to rest inside myself with more energy than I've ever had. I look more beautiful than I ever have. I'm happier than I ever have. The pain has subsided in my body.
Mm-hmm.
I can have any lover that I want, and most times I don't. And I don't care. I mean, it's just, and I have a lover right now. And he's lovely, and he's tantric, and it's wonderful. And, you know, we could go 2-3 weeks without seeing each other, and it's completely fine. When we come back together, it's wonderful. It's like, I'm not driven, you know, by anything. It's like, I'm just at peace with wherever I am in the world.
Well, and you are an amazing teacher as well. We're coming up towards the end of this hour, and I want to give you a chance to tell people how they can reach you. I know your website is butterflyworkshops.com, and I guess the email is also info@butterflyworkshops.com.
Yep. Uh-huh,
and you've got another website, too. Do you want to mention that?
I have lots of websites. They can see me on Tantra Cafe, which is the name of my show on BBS Radio. .com and Tantra Cafe.
Which is on what night?
I'm on Wednesday nights and I'm on Sunday afternoons.
Twice a week.
I'm on the East Coast, so I usually say East Coast time, but it's both.
Okay.
It's 10 p.m. Wednesday nights East Coast time, 7 p.m. Pacific, and on Sundays it's noon Pacific, 3 p.m. East Coast time. And I have a whole other site called Tantra Cafe where people could catch archives of my show before I was on BBS, and then since I've been on BBS, I used to be on another station, and so I have I've canned 35 shows, and there's lots of great topics about Tantra. And then I have LoriHandlers.com, and I have my book SexAndHappiness.com, and I also have something called YogaBoxing.com, and
Yoga
that's a whole
Boxing?
Other. Yeah, that's a whole other night. That's a different.
Yes, you're right. It is.
It's a form of exercise, but it's also a form of emotional release. To
oh
me,
my God.
Getting clear is the most important thing.
I could totally see why the folks at One Taste have you come teach them. You're amazing. You're absolutely amazing, Lori. I hope you'll be a guest on my show again. Maybe we'll come bring you back to talk about tantric boxing.
Yeah, that would be fun. That would be really fun.
Okay.
Well, Veronica, this has been, it's been my pleasure having you on my show and now being on your show. It was
almost like we were circulating our breathing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was very tantric of us.
It was very tantric of us, and we have to thank Alan Steinfeld, the spiritual vortex of New York.
Yes, thank you, Alan, for introducing us.
Thank you, Alan. And I'll give a little plug for him. If anybody wants to know more about Alan, they can hear him on BBS, or they can go to newrealitiestv.com. So.
Yeah. And finally, we thank Don and Seth at bbsradio.com.
Yeah, the best.
Working behind the scenes for us.
Yeah.
All right, my dear. I will...
Thank you.
I will talk to you soon, and thank you so much. I've learned a lot tonight. I'm sure my
listeners
thank
you.
Too.
It would be my pleasure to have you in a course and increase your pleasure in life, your transformation
awesome.
Through pleasure.
I look forward to it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Veronica Monet offers help, healing, and hope in the form of private telephone sessions. email veronica@sexwithoutshame.com to schedule an appointment, or visit www.sexwithoutshame.com to find out what Veronica can do for you.